people, and welcome to the Lemonade Budget for Champagne Social Butterflies, the aspirational podcast for hopeless people. And I am your hopeless host, Donna Scott, joined once again this week because he can't escape. He's my husband. It's lockdown. Still, just about, Neil K. Bond.
Hello, everybody.
Except we did manage to escape this week, didn't we?
Yes, they opened the pub garden.
Yes, and did you say to me just that you have been to the pub 3 times this week?
3 times.
I've been twice.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but the first time was Monday when they opened. And I felt a little bit nervous about going on opening day because I thought, well, either it's going to be dead because everyone's scared to go out. But then I thought about it. They weren't last time, were they?
No.
People will just be rushing in, and they were. It was very, very busy, but I trusted the venue that we picked to go to keep things kind of even keel and not too busy, and they managed okay.
Yeah, it was good. I got a message from work about, well, on Saturday we was invited because we went into our bubble and our bubble friend invited us over.
Yeah,
and that was great. And by the time we got to Monday, you fancied it. I promised I wouldn't go. And then it turned out that I was picking you up and there'd be a pint waiting somehow. And there it was. I went and I picked you up and there was a pint.
Yes, it was just after work, really, wasn't it? And it was only a couple for us.
For us. The friend who invited us may have been there from opening.
Yeah. But yeah, it was an experience.
It was good.
I had a great time.
Yeah.
There were
such relief.
I think because it was the first day of opening, there were a few people who turned up at the pub that we normally go to, which is an alternative rock pub, that perhaps weren't in the same vibe as the rest of us.
No, well, there weren't. Yeah, it was a very big beer garden that advertises itself.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of not locals.
It's not locals. We don't like. We have to give them a quiz when they come in.
Plenty of no tails.
Never mind. You know, are you wearing a mask? Have you had a temperature? Any of that. What we need to people to be able to answer.
Who's the bass player of Tool?
Who is the bass player of Tool? I don't know that. But I've been at a bar. I've watched them twice, Tool.
You don't know who's in the band?
No, Maynard James Keenan. I've been stood drinking at the bar with Maynard James Keenan. He doesn't know. It just happened to be in France, in Neumatruf, in Alsace. Those are actual words, by the way.
That wasn't a mumble.
No. It's the place called Neumatruf, which I think sounds like Here We All Are, which is Neumatruf. I think it's what it means in French, Alsatian, like a local language. Alsatian, of course it is. Woof, woof.
Neumatruf.
And yeah, it's just over the border from Germany.
Speciesist,
yes. But because Alsace is just across the border from Germany, and it is one of the disputed...
Well, sometimes it is. Sometimes it's part of Germany.
Yeah. So Tool came. They were supported by a band called Failure, who were also good. And I
never got into the charts. Total Failure.
Tool and Failure. And all their roadies. And there was me, my friend Jenny, who was an Irish au pair, my friend Lucy, who was also on her year out for university, working in a French company, her boyfriend, an Italian French lad called David, his friend Vincent, who, and none of them liked rock music at all. Just me. But because I wanted to go to Malouz, they all decided to come along with me to keep me safe, which is lovely. And so, yeah.
Because Malouz is a very dangerous place.
Well, it's a town.
Ah.
Town. So we all went to see Tool and Failure. And apart from us in the venue, there were 5 German lads and 2 Dutch girls, and the rest was just staff.
Oh, painful.
Yeah, but...
They're a super band now, so that's...
But they were then. That's crazy. So I had went to see them, and it was like a really, really intimate. That would be 1994?
Yeah, they were big by then.
Yeah. So like 2 months later, I went to see them in Wolverhampton. And I was...
Groovy.
Was not a group. Hey.
No, just saw them twice in 2 months.
I squashed against the front of the stage.
Yeah, not like a groupie, no. Barking like an Alsatian.
Oh, all I noticed is Maynard James Keenan has, he's kind of small, but he has big boots. Like a puppy. So you know he's going to be a big dog when he grow up.
That's nice.
But in France, I stood next to him for most of the night at the bar because he was wearing a wig. And you know me, I can't tell people.
No, apart from one another, no.
No, he was like wearing a like Czech shirt and like a baseball cap and a wig, pretending to be one of his own roadies.
To put people off, he had a tall t-shirt on.
Oh God, no. But yeah, he does that a lot. He wears a lot of wigs. He's what? Very follically challenged, but he likes to have the long flurry locks. Hello, today I'm in the goth band, Perfect Circle. We're a goth band or we're a prog band, I'm not sure.
Prog goth.
Prog goth. So I'm going to wear the big old red wig, or the black one makes me look like Severus Snape. And today I'm growing wine. I've got no hair, I'm bald, here's a hat. Men are James Keenan from Tool.
Let me.
Yeah, but I don't know who the bass player is. Well, so something a bit more simple than that, maybe?
Okay.
Who? I mean, I can name the bass player in... The bass player in Nirvana is the one.
You can name the bass player in Nirvana. Is there one?
Well, here's another question. Maybe the question should be, who is the other one in Nirvana? And then you'd have
which
to,
is the bass
and
player.
And that would be, you know the answer by knowing who the other one is.
And then we're going to get technical people complaining, saying, oh, at the end there were four members, there wasn't three. But
it's not Supergrass. Supergrass, who pretended not to have a fourth member.
Yeah, that was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah. A keyboardist, why wasn't he allowed to be in the band, guys? He was there all the time.
Rolling Stones won't let their bass player be a member of the band, even though he's been their bass player for 20-odd years. Probably 30-odd years by now.
They just don't like you guys.
They don't. It's like, what? Give you a proper share of the money? No, you're a sessions musician, and that's where you will stay. Please come on tour with us.
We got nobody else who knows all the songs. We have a million of them. Yeah. So yeah, some kind of quiz to get into the pub garden, so that you know, we know that you're not riffraff. I have to say that the second time. The second time I went to the pub though was Saturday.
Yes, I went Tuesday.
You went Tuesday as well.
I went Tuesday because it was...
An alcoholic.
Because I'm an alcoholic. No, it's because it was my friend Bamble. It's one of the names we'll give him now. Bamble. Yeah,
makes
it was his 50th
like
birthday.
Huge bear.
Yeah, it was a huge guy. Bloody behoosive. Not because he's fat, he's just muscular. It was his 50th birthday and I baked him a cake.
Oh, yes, you made him a cake.
I did, because we'd bought, in lockdown, to amuse ourselves, we bought a silicone mould of a minion cake mould, didn't we?
Everyone thought you were going to say breasts.
Yes, but no, I'm not always pervert. It was about, yes, and I thought I'd do him a chocolate rum raisin cake. And I'd got a new recipe book, and I thought I'd give it. And the recipe failed.
How many times did you make a cake?
Twice. How many times did it fail?
No, I think you made twice. As many cakes as you went to the pub.
Yes.
Two and a half.
Two and a half. There wasn't a lot of batter in the first one, was there? And the second one... Because
I broke off his foot, the first one, and it went crunch.
Yeah, it didn't cook very evenly at all. And even the second one with lots of batter in, that didn't cook evenly, so his head wouldn't... cook properly, so the rest of it was very dry. It was very, very dry, but I iced it beautifully. You know, pictures on the website. It was all beautifully iced and very, very nice.
What website is this?
Yours.
Is it Aldi's?
We'll sue them, damn it! we got, yes, and it was good. And then on Saturday, everybody joined Bamble and everybody for his 50th at the same beer garden at the Black Prince, which was great. And I was telling them about this wonderful cake. I said, oh, very nice. It was very dry. And Bamble turned around to our friend Bingo and went, yeah, it was. Do you remember prison scones? At which point Bingo went, oh, fucking hell. Oh, apparently prison scones act pretty much the same way as good quality cat litter. They will absorb all moisture quicker than silicone gel in a packet from China. It will turn your mouth completely dry, and if you salivate really hard for a long time, you may get the consistency of wallpaper paste. And that's what he thought of my cake was like. So, on him.
Yeah, so if you've been listening to that, if you picked up any clues from what Neil has just said, he is friends with the Animal Crackers and they've done time for their crimes against music.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they deserve the cake that tastes of dry.
Most of my friends are lovely people, including these. I've never had my cooking directly compared to
Rory's
the worst.
Rory's still in, isn't he?
Rory's a bad un. Oh, because he was a bass player. Nobody remembered he was in the group. That's why he's still in there. Can you remember his name? Only you can, Donna. Only you. And while we was there, it was another friend of ours' birthday, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, it was, yes. Oh, I wonder if they're listening.
I think they might be, because they complained we hadn't done another issue of this, didn't they?
Yes.
Happy birthday, Russ! I hope he's cringing now. Happy birthday, mate. And he's right, it has been a little while since we've done one. We promised to do one every week, and then...
What happened?
I got knackered.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You know how we said that we'd been ill last time, yeah, and that we had COVID?
It's not whinging.
And
about it.
Not whinging!
Yeah.
We have been continuously ill. We've been better, but we've been...
Much
really...
better than we were.
Oh, my God, but it's taken us a long, long time to get the energy. What we've been able to do is we've been able to do the day jobs that we have and then go to sleep. Honestly, the housework has suffered.
The cat has suffered.
I have suffered.
Oh, I have really suffered.
The cake has suffered. That minion had a pained expression that said, I've been made by somebody who has no energy for this.
It was a very dead cake. Never mind.
Well, his expression was really good, actually. I really liked the icing sugar eyes that you did for him.
Oh, and he looked okay. It was just inedible.
Oh, no, that's all good cake.
It was well flavoured inedible.
The better looking the cake, the more inedible it is. We've learned this.
I will dispute that because our wedding cake was absolutely awesome,
yeah,
by views, and gorgeous to eat. So, yeah.
It was. But I was thinking before then, when you used to go to Bilston Art Gallery and somebody had done sugar sculptures, but she'd done them on cardboard.
So, lick it!
Yeah, well, she did these sugar sculptures of mosques. They're beautiful. But, you know...
Were they to eat or were they art?
They would be art.
Then what's the problem with it being on cardboard?
Why sugar? Don't tantalise me with something made of food that I can't eat. I'm drinking your tea. You're going to be wired.
Excellent.
I'm drinking from the caffeine-free Ian Watson. Where would our eternal Roman Empire be without coffee?
And I've met Ian Watson and he's never caffeine-free.
No.
He does not come across caffeine at all in the slightest. I've got the Ian McLeod.
The Ian McLeod?
No, it's a Ken McLeod. It's very good. And this is on a magazine.
Yes.
Explain the concept of magazines.
So I keep saying I went to things that they're online. I went to a thing online. I stayed in my house.
It's good to pretend.
Yeah, I pretend went to an event in Edinburgh, which was Ken McLeod's road trip, organised by Shoreline of Infinity magazine. And that featured Charlie Stross, Justina Robson and Tasha Suri, and musical contributions from Hannah and Sam, who were in New Zealand. And Noel Chidwick said, oh, by the way, if anyone wants to buy any of these, he held these mugs aloft and said, these are magazines. So Ken McLeod, he had one, and Ian Watson had one. So I've purchased one of each. Because we're going to see Ian tomorrow, aren't we?
We are going to see Ian. Yeah.
Because we're part of the Northampton Science Fiction Writers Group with Ian Watson. And it's his story tomorrow.
Oh, exciting. Yeah. Exciting.
Yeah.
And each mug has a piece of artwork to illustrate the story and a short story printed on the mug.
Yes.
This magazine. Which is all very good. And Ken McLeod's is called Cyber Squatters of the 21st Century, a thrilling vision of the 21st Century.
Yeah, and if you would like your own story magazine, then you can get one from shorelineofinfinity.com.
Indeed, you get. We are not sponsored.
Yeah.
Do you remember we went to that award ceremony and Ken McLeod was won an award and was announced as Ken McLeod?
Oh, yes.
I felt so bad for him.
Ken McLeod of the Clan McLeod. We said that for ages.
We did. Oh, bless it. He's a lovely bloke as well. Never mind.
Following that advertorial pause, we were in the pub, as we were. And
in the pub.
How do you feel about pubs being open?
Oh, it's just such a relief of some kind of normality. All the way through January and February, I was promising myself that I feel so much healthier. I feel so much better for not going to the pub regularly, that when this lockdown is going to finish, I'm not going to go. And I'm going to carry on being healthy and wealthy and wise. And it, yeah, it's not happened. But it's just having a sense of normality and being able to just see people. I mean, you can't touch them. You could actually, yeah, bump into people that you haven't seen, arrange to meet on Zoom or whichever platform you want to. It's just... So it just got a feeling of it all coming to an end, especially now that the vast majority of us have been vaccinated as well. It's...
I think sufficient quantities have for it to feel a little bit safer. Now, I think there's a few things making me feel a bit better. And there's one, I'm no longer worried about killing people because they're dead. I mean, they're just start harsh.
Yeah.
They're start harsh. The people I wanted to keep safe, they died of it. And there's no two bones about it.
It's true.
Dead, dead, dead. Two, we've been ill and... We could get ill again. That's still likely. But we know that it's not going to be worse than what we've already had.
That's not true. Usually it's worse second time round.
Really?
Yeah. But we
Not being scared. Why have you scared me?
Because you're about to publish a lie and you can't publish lies. Especially dangerous lies like
that. Oh, no. Now, one thing I was told was having the vaccine, if you've had COVID...
Which vaccine was that?
The COVID vaccine. Well, if you had the COVID vaccine.
Yeah.
But you've had COVID.
Yeah.
Then you feel a little bit worse. And we did feel bad, didn't we?
You were worse than me. I felt okay with it.
Yeah, but I persevered.
You did. You did well.
I don't think I was very sensible. On Saturday?
No.
Because I felt just about okay. And I went to the pub. And I sat there in the beer garden. And my Fitbit was telling me that my resting heart rate was 112 BPM.
No, was it? Was it high?
It was really high. And it took a couple of hours and it went down to about 84. But that was the lowest it went all night.
Okay, that no, that's not good.
Mm-mm.
But you're fine.
I'm fine now. But yeah, I was sitting there thinking, that's not good. I'm a bit racy.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know if anybody else has had any heart type issues with this thing. It's not one of the symptoms that they said.
No. It's not like they give you the virus either. It's just the protein of the, you know, bits that your body reacts to.
So that, I think that's just me now. I think that's just, I'm probably a sickly child.
You are.
And I need to look after myself better.
We do need to look after you better.
Mm.
Yes. We've been quite good. We've been quite good. Although, yeah, still a little wheezy and chesty.
Yeah.
Had a bit of a problem yesterday. I nearly died. But that wasn't really the thing. What happened was, good listeners, is that I was having a little bit of an asthma issue.
Yeah, and we know who to blame.
Go on.
Mr. Badger.
Oh, Mr. Badger. Yes, we was watching our good comedy friend, Mr. Badger, on the TV. And he was...
He wasn't on the TV. He was on YouTube, but we were watching...
We was watching it on the TV.
YouTube on the TV.
It was YouTube on the TV. That thing on the wall there, that's a TV. And that's what we were watching it on.
One of his old YouTubes from about 11 months ago came up.
About lockdown cooking.
Yeah.
Which was how to cook yourself a Mr. Badger Big Mac. And he's not a family show. And it was, yeah, it was truly awful. Disgusting. It was hilarious. I love it. It's just disgusting and vile.
So disgusting.
Disgusting. Vile. Yeah, lovely. And yeah, I laughed so hard I had an asthma attack. And that isn't really what nearly killed me. I got my inhaler because I was having so much trouble breathing. And I breathed in deeply and let the gas go. And
and then did you also use your inhaler?
I also used my inhaler. Unfortunately, in the end of the inhaler, a corner of a packet. You know, like you tear open a packet of Skittles and you take off that corner bit.
Yeah.
So it's the same kind of shape as that corner.
It's a screw packet, yeah.
It's a screw packet. But the plastic's a lot thicker.
Mm.
So it's not, your screws have got to be penetrated through your pocket, you see. And this little triangle thing was a perfect little parachute and basically shot into the back of my throat at about 120 miles an hour. And I started choking and coughing and spluttering. I knew it was too big to swallow and it couldn't come up and it was very stuck and I was very much choking. So you went to get a lovely glass of water, didn't you?
Yes.
But I knew I couldn't swallow. So I was going, back here! Come here, back here! And all the time, you just hear me pour water.
I just thought, he wants more water than this?
Get back here! So he came with a glass of water, and I gave him a loving look to say, what the fuck are you doing? Get me some fucking bucket! Because I had to up chuck. And then what did you come back with?
A bucket.
A yogurt pot.
But it had a handle.
It had a handle, but it was a yogurt pot. I had to throw up in a yogurt pot. All right. It was a 1 kilo yogurt pot, not a little yogurt pot, but it wasn't as big as the big 5 kilo ones, was it? I had to be very accurate while I was joking and fading in and out of consciousness.
I like yogurt a lot, but 5 kilos.
They sell them.
Who sells them?
Morrison's.
To who?
People that like yogurt more than you do.
Look, I know that they're good against... No, I'm not going to go there. But you could make a little sandcastle out of them.
I managed to contain myself. It was great, and I survived. And that's the important part of the story.
And the important part of the story is it's funny.
Remember that next time I'm dying?
Oh, always funny.
Just make it funny.
Tell you who else is funny.
Who's that?
Our little Manny cat.
Manny Moo.
So how did we cope before we had Manny in our lives?
Oh, we just bickered. I don't know. I don't think he's a lovely little cat, is he?
He's a baby. Oh no, I've turned into one of those people who calls a cat a baby.
Baby.
This is no good.
No.
Yeah, but he is having a bit of like outside going tantrums.
We started letting him out, haven't we?
Yeah, but that was a mistake.
He's nowhere near as cute now that he's found his feet.
It was
outside.
A huge mistake. One, because it's still spring. I'm worried about baby birds. So he's got a bell around his neck and we limit his going out time. He's not allowed to go at night. And I basically follow him in the day. And call him back every so often so he doesn't go too far. And he comes, doesn't he?
He does. He does come when he's called. He's very much like a doggy.
Yeah, but I think he's got to that stage where, because he's such a clever cat, he thinks he's human. And then now he's met other cats. He thinks, right, okay, I can associate with these guys. These guys with the fur of them. But do you know who else would really get on with these guys if I go on with them?
I'm
my human friends. Come out, humans.
Come in, my cat friends.
So he keeps begging us to go out with him to the gardens to hang out with the cats.
He does.
Then we're like, we're not doing parkour today.
The neighbours don't like us jumping all over the fences. He does run and bounce very, very quickly around the garden, so he's very good.
Yeah, he was very annoying last night, though.
Yeah.
Because we got him an Easter egg, didn't we?
We did.
And we'd be giving him little bits of it as treats.
It was a special cat Easter egg. I don't want complaints.
Yeah, it went of yoghurt and sugar.
Yeah, yoghurt and sugar Easter egg for cats.
So, because it's a sweet treat, you're not supposed to have a whole lot. So we've been breaking little bits of it off and giving it to him at night. And he's like, had his last bit of it in the bedroom.
Yep.
And we hadn't put the box in the recycling. So last night he came and he found his box and he was trying to open it and get the bits of chocolate inside.
Of course he was.
Because, you know, he's clever. So we opened the box and then you can hear him making these disgruntled noises. Like, wah, 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 as if to say, where the heck's my chocolate?
Where is it?
And then he basically just grabbed it by the claws and then just threw it on the floor going, wah, 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 wah.
And then did the same with your perfume bottles.
Well, no, first, he's like one nail and he's scraped down the mirror just to annoy us. It's like, it'll annoy them. Then he went over to my dressing table and he just made this like, wah, 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 noise. And then it, off went one bottle. Wah, 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 wah. Off went another bottle. And he did that until I picked him up and carried him downstairs and showed him his dreamy tower and his bed and shut the door on him. So he was quite disgruntled this morning because he wants to spend time with us, but, you know, he's a cat. He wants to stay in his cat area.
He's really, really split between the two. Well, he's still wonderfully affectionate, but he's really split between the going out life and the being inside life. But there you go.
Oh, he jumped up onto my shoulders today, like from the front. It was basically just the one nail into my shoulder to just jump up and give me a cuddle.
Can I just point out to the listeners that he does actually have more than one nail. We've not mutilated him. Because all your stories, this one nail, he's got eight.
I've never counted them.
And then two hangnail things. That's the way paws work.
Well, he has hands with sharp bits on. That's what he has. You ever see him trying to look out the window? We basically have, like, this window in the bathroom, which is like got three Georgian panels and one clear panel at the top, and he tries to look out the clear panel by basically doing a chin lift up there.
No, he's never done that when I'm in there, because when I'm in there, he jumps from the bath onto me, onto my shoulders while I'm sat on the loo, so he can see out.
Actually, because you're taller. But no, it's not good with me. He just basically does the chin lift going, eh? Like, what can I see today? Oh, there's that magpie.
He is a silly bugger.
We have also been watching The Last Train for you.
We have.
Because some of our listeners have gone ahead and watched the entire series. They let us know. And they've come back to us and they've said, yeah, it's really good.
It's good.
So we said that we would do it bit by bit, though. So we were in episode two.
Well, yes. We have watched it all, but this is episode two. So, episode two.
A group of people get on a train on the way.
You don't want to start that early, Donna. Carry on.
A group of people go on the train to Sheffield. There's an asteroid crashes into the Earth. They get frozen and they wake up a number of years later. But they don't realise it's a number of years later and realise that everything is destroyed and they're in Sheffield. so they can't tell.
It is the point that they think that it's 4 months the most, the longest, mm-hmm. which is ridiculous. And what they're doing is the one woman who was carrying the canister that everybody thought was a bomb, she's a scientist, and she wants to lead them to a government underground bunker where her love, Jonathan.
Yes, Jonathan.
Yes, is waiting for her to rescue her, and that's the reason she's there, and she's going to bring her group of survivors to Jonathan and the secret underground bunker where there'll be food and there'll be water and it'll be wonderful. They're all going along, and it's like, apart from this one guy who's the weird dweeby office worker who goes back to his office and has a bit of a mental breakdown and beats up a photocopier because that ruined his promotion chances and took the mick out of an Italian restaurant that wouldn't serve him anymore, and then pretend to fire everybody because they were dead and didn't wait for him. And he is just odd, whilst everybody else found the secret bunker. Doom, doom, doom. And it got scary. So the little girl, whose diary this is, if you remember from last time, found a strange woman wandering around in a church. Also, previously found by Rhea, the dynamic woman, who...
Roe,
that's it. The dynamic woman, who's going around, kicking down doors and being dynamic, and decided to apologise to God while she punched herself in the stomach to have a miscarriage, which was a bit of an intense part. And, yes. And they find the bunker and they're all dead, Dave. There's nobody about. It's all been rioted. But Jonathan has a secret chamber.
Yes, they find the cryonic chamber and there's a skeleton, but he's dressed in very neat clothes. And there is a video channel that they find that plays a message.
A message with clues. And it was the early prototype of Lock Rooms, because this is 1999 when this was released. They had no idea that 20 years later, we'd all be paying fortunes to get locked in a room with puzzles so we could find ourselves out. But this is what happened. The video gave them lots of clues. And because she's such an intelligent woman, a great scientist, who definitely is the one to be tested, she curls up on a bunk and cries and decides that she's just going to die because that's what he wants. Whilst the detective and the robber actually solve the mystery and how to get out, which we won't spoil for you. But there we go. And then they decide to go to Scotland, because that's where the Ark is, where everybody's hidden to wait out Armageddon, which God knows why they was going to Sheffield when they could have just gone straight to Scotland.
Yeah, and here's the thing to note, is like what we've realised, because this is our second watch, is that Colin, who's the office dweeb who goes nuts, encounters a strange wild man with a gun in the office who threatens him. And of course, Ro and Anita encounter this pale young woman who is riding a horse and she's heavily pregnant.
Yes, apart from the eye makeup, I mean, could really from Blade Runner be, really. Yeah.
So they're all in Sheffield and they're all aiming to go to Scotland.
Yes.
But all those characters are all in Sheffield together at this point. And this is going to make a bit of a significance when they end up in Scotland.
But chapter six.
Yes.
Yes. And so they all go off in their wonderful, the only van that's working with all the petrol having been used up. But Colin found out that it's actually, he found a grave, didn't he? 2013.
Yes, they're at least 14 years in the future.
And they're very pissed off about it.
Yes.
Yes, so they ride off in their Mercedes van, being chased by the pregnant woman on a horse.
Well, they're not being chased. She's following them. She looks at them going, And it's a massive Shire horse as well, so not one of the fast horses, so...
No, but it'll plod for a while, won't it?
Yeah.
So this one was really to get to know the characters kind of episode, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Harriet is having this love affair with a much, much older man, and seems to, as soon as she's seen him, turn into an early teen, love-puppied-obsessed being with no sense of perspective whatsoever. And she's, but Jonathan will save us. Jonathan will be. And she's just lost her mind in her own decision making, which I thought was very disappointing.
Yeah, and point of interest, Sasha Dewan, who is the 15-year-old version of the Master, because he's the future Master in Doctor Who, and he's only 15 in this thing. We see that he's kind of a nasty little boy. He's really mean to his mum.
He's a daddy's boy.
Yeah.
Mum just took him away from the daddy.
Yeah. And he keeps saying, oh, she keeps getting stomach aches. And even though Dad's trying really, really hard, buys her flowers. And then his mum's trying to explain, you know, the flowers were because he gave me the stomach aches.
So then, domestic abuse, are they?
Yeah. But he's a mean and horrible boy. He doesn't see it. And most of the time he's walking around sort of dancing to himself, looking at all the graffiti that people are left behind because he's got a CD Walkman.
Because it's the 90s.
Yes.
That is modern technology.
Yes. So, mean and horrible, but still kind of cute.
As is his 10-year-old sister, to be fair, who again wrote everything down without being there for any of the bad bits.
Yes.
Doesn't know anything that happened, but wrote it all down anyway.
So, what do you think we've learned from this week?
We've learned that scientists go all mushy when they're in love and therefore can't think.
Yeah.
Which we also learned from the Big Bang Theory. We've learned that teenage boys are obsessed with their mother's sex lives.
But also the scientists don't necessarily think logically or rationally. Having laid traps in the cryonic chamber for anyone who could be, rather than using the cryonic gases to save more people, so they can wake up in the future. They didn't. They decided not to do that. They wasted a lot of their stuff.
It's a lot of their stuff. So this one was a bit of a slow burner, but it does pick up next week.
In the meantime, Mother of God.
Mother of God. AC-12.
So yeah, we've been really getting into Line of Duty. I've joined a group of comedians bantering about it. So did you notice a few things about this week's episode? Did you notice, for example, the post-it note that spelled out what Joe Davidson's DNA said about her relationship to Tommy Hunter?
No, I did not. What did it say?
Okay, so Tommy Hunter is her blood relative.
Uh-huh.
He is her uncle.
Oh.
And her dad.
She's a child of incest.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, so how does that work,
I thought her eyes were a bit close together. With massive apologies to the actress playing that character.
Did you notice the new character being introduced as a potential H? Potential H, he's not. But somebody else who was apparently mentioned in association with Patrick, the old pedo.
I did. But please tell the listeners.
Okay, so that is a character called Marcus Thirlwell.
Yes.
And he's played by...
I don't know actors' names.
Little Jimmy Thingamajig.
Cranky.
Jimmy. Little Jimmy Nesbitt.
Little Jimmy Nesbitt. I don't think he's ever been called Little Jimmy Nesbitt before.
He played a dwarf in The Hobbit. Little Jimmy Nesbitt.
Yeah, it's true.
Now, I was thinking, because that list of people who are associated with the Sandview home for boys who were potential paedophiles, I took a picture of that list.
You did.
So when Marcus Thirlwell got mentioned, I looked at that list and he's not on that list. That's so he's because... somebody else who was intermittently mentioned. So I quickly checked the fan wiki. People were on that fan wiki in the middle of the programme, updating it.
How did they enjoy the programme while they're doing this?
Here's the thing, they didn't. In the middle of the programme, the fan wiki was updated and Marcus Thirlwell's character got added to it. And it said, Marcus Thirlwell was a detective inspector in Central Police's Vice Squad in 1998. He was the SIO on the investigation into the murder of Oliver Stevens Lloyd. Line of Duty is too confusing. So it was like someone's clearly got frustrated. But yeah, so that's been updated now, and people have a bit more information, including that they have identified that he's played by Little Jimmy Nesbitt.
Yay!
Did you notice when Steve Arnott was texting Kate saying he needed to chat to her that she'd been bantering him about his waistcoats?
No, I did not.
Yeah, so you look at his phone and there's like a little picture of what looks like a dog in a waistcoat with an alarm clock and a calculator. And she's put, reminded me of you, laughing emoji, tears laughing emoji. Crying laugh emoji. And he's put, lol, very funny. Then an angry face. And then a laughing emoji.
Oh, they are good together.
Another thing has come to light about who H might be. What do you think of Patricia Carmichael?
As H?
Yeah, as a character.
Oh, as a character? Very strong, bloody-minded. I mean, she's in charge of, AC3? Was it AC9?
AC3
have always been in competition of AC12. I think she's got the bit between her teeth that she can be top dog. I like the character. I think she's far too arrogant to be H, to be honest with you. I like the character, but her being H is no.
So what do you think?
She's just ambitious.
Somebody has pointed out that Jimmy Lakewell said, if you want to find out who H is, look behind the race claim.
Does that go back to season one?
No, it was like last week.
Ooh.
So, race claim plus H is an anagram of Carmichael.
Oh, people are looking too far into that.
Oh, no.
It's a bit cryptic crossword, that, isn't it? It's a bit times cryptic.
It is, but look at all the Easter egg trails. And Adrian Dunbar said himself that, you know, there are people who have worked out who H is and they're the hardcore. And you can be really into it. That's just the core. So he says the people who are looking very forensically into it, hardcore, and we know the score.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I don't necessarily think that Carmichael is H, but I think she's working for H.
Ah.
But I also think H is a woman.
Could be. You still think it's Kate?
I don't think it's Kate. But we are also being given a few, what's the word? Leads to think that Kate might be Dodge. Right, it was kind of spelled out when Joe was talking to Kate just after Terry Boyle was attacked by Ryan Pilkington. She wanted to know what Kate was doing following, and she said, so people they're going to want to know why you were just happened to be there during the attempted murder of a suspect. So she said she basically admitted it was an attempted murder and didn't bat an eyelid. None of us.
Dunk, 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 dunk.
Anyway, it's getting very. Also, there's the allegations that, you know, when Dot was giving his dying declaration, tape got edited.
And it was Steve that worked out the fact that his blinking was the Morse code, the finger thing. You're right.
Yeah, because it looks different between the first time they play it and when it gets played back to Ted, when he was questioned at the end of last series. By Carmichael.
Oh.
Anyway, the cat's come back in.
I will start demanding food straight away.
So I think... What's that? Manny? Can we say hello? Come and say hello to our listeners.
Are you just purring now?
I think that's it from us. So, yes, thank you for listening. And we'll come up with more theories and speculation for next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Lemonade Budget for Champagne Social Butterflies with Donna Scott. Please like and subscribe. Give us a 5-star review. I love you. Also, check out Donna Scott Comedy on YouTube and my website, donna-scott.co.uk. Music, It Looks Like the Future, But It Feels Like the Past by Dr. Turtle on Flush Your Rolex EP.